Welcome back to Twice Upon a Time. This week, Roger and I watched Season 4, Episode 20, Lily. As always, we'll start off with a synopsis. In the land without magic of the past, Emma, living with a new foster family, re-encounters Lily. Lily's life has been in a downward spiral since she met Emma, and Emma reluctantly helps her. When Lily steals from Emma's foster parents and Emma gets caught, Emma runs away and pushes Lily away as well. The apprentice finds Lily and tells her about her real mother to atone for his part in her being banished to this world. In the land without magic of the present, Emma and Regina head to Massachusetts to find Lily. They are told Lily is dead, but fate brings Emma and Lily together in a chance encounter at a diner. Lily tries to convince Emma she's happy, but breaking into Lily's house, Regina and Emma discover that Lily knows exactly who she is and wants revenge on Snow and Charming. After a chase, Emma restrains the darkness and Lily agrees to go back with them. They all travel to New York to tell Robin about Marion, but even after Zelina reveals herself, Robin doesn't want to leave because Zelina is pregnant with his child. Roger, what do you think of this episode?
Meh.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, there's like a whole section of stuff that I just like didn't even include in the fucking synopsis because we were in like 8 locations.
I have 3 locations. I have 4 stories that are around Storybrooke. Enchanted Forest is admittedly very brief, but then you got the whole Minnesota backstory.
Uh-huh.
That's too much for one episode.
It's so much. Well, and technically, I mean, it's the land without magic of the present, but they're in both New York and Massachusetts as well.
When are they in Massachusetts?
That's where they go at first to find Lily.
Oh, like in the present day.
Yeah, in the present day, yeah.
Yeah, so there's a lot of locations, and then, like, I can deal with a lot of locations if it's at least within the same story, right? Like, kind of like if you think about the first episode of Heroes and Villains, they do jump around, but it's all of the villains trying to get home. So you go from Ursula's location to Cruella's location to Storybrooke, and you're fine with that. This is trying to do too many stories at once, and there's just one story I don't really care about, and it's half of the episode. There's a lot of good, but the good doesn't get enough time.
Yeah, I agree. I also feel like we're spending a lot of time, or we're not spending really enough time developing this, like, tie between Lily and Emma. Like, it just sort of, like, it's like, oh, they're connected by fate. See, we told you in a flashback just to the Enchanted Forest. Now we're doing a whole episode about it. And that's the last time we're going to talk about it, really, after this. Okay? Cool.
The Savior has become the anchor of this show. Her stories are just dragging down the show. Like, if you take away most of the stuff that involves Emma, this becomes a pretty good episode.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
But the flashback is not very good. I don't really love the Emma and Lily connection because it feels forced. Like, had Lily been a part of the story the whole way through, I would buy it a little bit more. Emma in the present, I mean, it's all of the, I'm a petulant child, I'm angry about my parents lying to me. It's a rationalization of, like, just because I want revenge, or she doesn't say revenge, but it's like, it's not darkness, it's something else. I know what she says. She's still infuriated at the Charmings to a degree that is just disproportionate to what they did. Maleficent being that furious is proportionate.
Of course.
Lily being that furious is proportionate. Emma feels fake.
And I don't really understand this, like, descent into darkness that she's taking. Like, it feels like it came out of nowhere. Like, I recognize that she killed Cruella, but, like, Cruella had her son at gunpoint.
Yeah.
And, like, now all of a sudden she's, like, punching landlords for, like, being mean?
Well, and, like, part of it, she's a bad actress. Like, I know you've always liked Emma, but, like, the difference between Jennifer Morrison's ability to compare or convey rage and, like, think of Shattered Sight. The moment that the glass hit Snow's eyes, you saw contempt.
Yeah.
She's just not very good at the emotion. So it does feel like, where the fuck did this come from? She's been petulant the whole season.
I agree. I actually think the only time that she's convincingly, like, actually angry in this episode is when she pushes Lily down to the ground.
Yeah.
Like, her voice, like, actually changes. And you're like, oh, she's actually angry.
She looks like somebody who's tired of her bullshit. And she actually seems... The young Emma does convey anger because she's like, stop ruining my life. Like, you're driving me insane. But yeah, Emma just comes off as whiny.
Well, and yeah, like, young Lily too. I mean, I know that she's got this, like, it's almost like a curse, I guess. But she God, she's so annoying. Like, she's like, oh, I saved you from this situation that's terrible, Emma. And Emma's like, these people liked me. Like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
So, I don't know that I entirely disagree with Lily based on what the father says at the end.
Oh, totally. Like, but we also don't really know how long Emma has been with them.
We don't, but I think the problem is that what Lily saw is that no matter what, you are always going to be the outsider mm-hmm. in a family. So they might adopt you in like a family pet, but you're not one of their children. Mm-hmm. And I think the difference is that like Emma doesn't care. She'd rather be lied to, which is kind of true how she is. And like, even if it's a fake memory, it's still a memory that uh-huh. I have to join. Whereas Lily's like, yeah, but it's not the truth. So I think there's like at least some room for wiggle there where you can like, okay, I could see how one person would like this. What I don't understand is like the, okay, so Lily figured everything out based on that conversation with the apprentice?
Yeah, I mean, it's unclear how much he tells her. Because, like, we kind of cut before he actually starts telling her anything.
But at the point in which we find her in the present, she knows everything.
I know, she has one of those.
She's a
murder board.
Yeah, which kind of makes sense. She wants to murder the Charmings, I'm guessing.
But the level of information that she has is kind of bonkers.
I was like, there has to be someone, I even wrote down, someone had to have talked to her, whether it was August or like somebody else had to piece this together, because where the fuck did she get this info?
Well, and even at the time that the apprentice told her that,
these things hadn't happened.
No. I guess they were in Storybrooke.
They were in Storybrooke.
They were cursed in Storybrooke.
Yeah.
So maybe he told her everything, but I don't, like, how did he know?
He would know.
He would know. I mean, I guess he's very powerful. He would know some of it, but he, like...
No, he knew all of it.
But he...
Remember, he sends Ingrid there saying this is going to happen. He is able to see into the future as well.
I guess that's true. Yeah,
he knows. He knows what is coming.
He's there? He lives in Storybrooke.
Well, he does live in Storybrooke, as we see, because he gets sucked into
the... But maybe that was only the second curse?
But I think that's the second curse. I think he's able to, like, transport between realms.
Sure. Magic bean.
I don't fucking know. It's not really clear to me his power level, because he couldn't stop the author from making him do something he didn't want to do, but he's able to trap the author within the book. I don't know.
And there are times, like, that we've seen in the past and that we'll see in the future. Like, people believe that the sorcerer is very powerful. Like, the sorcerer's apprentice, sorry.
Yeah. I mean, the sorcerer is very powerful. I'm not sure how powerful the apprentice is.
We have maybe not yet seen, but we'll see times when even Rumpelstiltskin, like, recognize, like, he, part of the reason he put him in the hat was because he was like, he's very powerful.
Well, I thought, he needed his magic. Yeah, and then he even has Anna transform him into a rat. So, like, he acknowledges that he's at least in his way.
Absolutely.
So he has some level of
power. And he's just the apprentice. Yeah. So I can't even imagine what the sorcerer is like.
I'm sure the sorcerer is the most powerful wizard.
I don't know that I needed this, like, Enchanted Forest flashback.
I think it made some sense. I just wish we got more.
Yeah. I mean, they're trying to set us up with the, like, they remain their fates remain entwined as they always were and they always shall be.
Oh, that part I didn't give a shit about. The author must never be allowed to toy with fate again was the part that I think that was interesting, because I want to know what are the consequences of an author deviating from his responsibilities and what does that mean?
Yeah.
I think that was more interesting, and I wish we got more time to dive into, like, the sorcerer explaining that, like, hey, if he does this, there are catastrophic consequences, but we don't get more.
I also wish we'd spent a little bit more time on, because we talk a little bit, like, the Charmings and Maleficent have that conversation about, like, forgiveness and, like, how they apologize to her, and I mean, I think they're, like, taking some gross steps here, which I appreciate. They're finally, like, at least realizing, oh, we got so worried about Emma that, like, we weren't even thinking about you. And then when Maleficent says, you owe my daughter an apology, they're like, you're totally right. But I think what's interesting about the sorcerer is it's not even his fault that, like, this happened to Lily and Emma. Like, he was made to do it by the author, and he's, like, actually trying to fix it. I don't think he does a very good job, but, like, he like actually tries to do something. He doesn't just say, like, sorry, bro.
So part of my concern is this, right? One of two things is true. If the author was powerful enough to compel the sorcerer's apprentice to do this, are we saying that he essentially wrote the story and the characters involved had no agency in the decisions they made? Is that what we're actually saying right now? Because if so, then Charming and Snow are absolved of any responsibility.
I don't think that's true, because I don't think that he wrote My understanding, based on the conversation that the Sorcerer's Apprentice and the author have, is that the apprentice made the, or, sorry, the author made the Sorcerer's Apprentice do that. Like, so he made him do that.
Basically made him
do that. And then he, like, suggested to Snow and Charming, in, as a person, not by writing it, that they go that way so that they would run into the apprentice. So I think that what Snow and Charming did was almost entirely, like, they wouldn't have gone that way if they hadn't run into the author, but like, they was, they're totally their own doing. I think the apprentice, like, he would not have done that if he had not been made to do so.
Yeah. That's a very odd distinction they're making there, though, because you're basically blaming the author and taking blame off of the Sorcerer's apprentice, but then we're still blaming Charming and Snow. I'm like, that, okay, maybe that's what happened. I would like that more clearly explained. So there's that. The other thing I don't really like with the whole the Charming thing is that, like, the apology feels like a consolation prize. Like, we have been desperately trying to get Emma to forgive us, but at this point it's very clear that she won't. So maybe we can get some absolution by actually apologizing to the person that we hurt. And it's kind of like, yeah, well, fuck off. If Emma had forgiven you, you wouldn't be here, right?
No, that's a really good point. And I wish we could have dug into that a little bit more. Like, even them saying something like, we realize that we're making the situation worse with Emma by, like, focusing on the wrong thing. Like, we want to be good people, and, like, what we're doing now is not good. And, like, an apology isn't enough, but it is what we can provide you right now.
The other thing that's interesting is they talk about fate a lot in this episode, and they talk about your choices. One of the things that I remember from season one, we talked about this, is that even when you are cursed, there's some part of you that is in there. Which means you're still responsible for your own actions. Even David Nolan and Mary Margaret don't get to just completely hand wave it away as much as they'd like to about, like, y'all chose to have an affair, you chose to lie, you chose to do all the bad things you chose to do. The same kind of thing has to be true for Lily. Like, yeah, everything is going to be harder. That's what the apprentice says. But she still doesn't have to keep fucking up. Like, that is still kind of on her. But we're making it sound like, well, she was just destined to be in a hellscape. Like, no, just like, you were destined to have a more difficult, higher difficulty level.
Well, and it is, I feel like she keeps telling Emma, like, I keep trying to do the right thing and it, like, always goes wrong. But and I'm like, what decision did you make that seemed like it could even be remotely the right
thing? Like, we don't meet the boyfriend, but I can already tell you, he's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
I don't have to meet him to know he's bad.
Totally.
So you went along, you shouldn't have been dating him in the first place. And then you went along with this dumbass plan to arm, like, what are you doing? Like, what?
Well, and, how did she get kicked out in the first place? Like, what did she do to...
What we saw in the last episode, where she breaks into home.
Yeah.
Like, so it's just, like, all of her decisions are bad. Unless you're telling me that this darkness being dropped inside of her is literally, like, a voice in her head. Like, a physical manifestation of the darkness keeps making her do bad things. In which case, okay, can I now absolve Gold of all his poor choices because it's the darkness controlling him? Like, there's too much excuse-making for my taste in him. It's like, can we just acknowledge that some of you just fuck up sometimes?
There's also some weird, like Lily's life was fine until she met Emma, and then that's when the problem started. But, like, wouldn't the problem have always been there based on, like, what happened?
Which is what Lily says. I was fucked, basically,
yeah, from birth. I just, like, I don't really understand what, like, they're, like, pulled together like magnets, but... And even, like, when they're fighting on the road,
yeah,
they're, like, the lightning and the thunder, and it's, like, are we, is this, like,
magical duel?
What is that, Hancock?
Yeah. Well, and then, like, they're using fate wrong, because Regina's like, oh, you think it was fate that I adopted the Savior's son? I was like, no, I think it was Rumpelstiltskin. Duh. We know for a fact he manipulated these events. Like, why are we acting like that as somehow fate? He knew what he was going after, even if he was cursed. He knew to some degree.
Yeah, I mean, I think that there's that really bad quote from Regina really bothered me. Like, you think it's a coincidence that I happen to adopt the Savior's son. Our actions are our own, but fate pushes us. It really counters, like, evil isn't born, it's made.
Yes.
And I do, there are certainly, like, I know you and I kind of disagree about whether or not Rumpelstiltskin was awake. But that is one instance of potential fate, like,
sure.
But the second one is Balefire being Neil, and Rumpelstiltskin did not know that.
That's fate.
Yeah. It was surprising, but it felt very natural.
That wasn't
like, it
the
didn't
plan,
feel like they were, like, forcing it together.
Yeah, like, the plan was always to get the Savior back to Storybrooke. The plan was not for the Savior to have a kid with the Dark One's son, who would then, like...
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, he was... He ended up being the boy who would be his undoing, but even Rumple hadn't seen that far in advance.
Right.
Though, did he not get a picture? Different discussion. Yeah, I mean, they're going back and forth. And I think, again, I said this in the last episode, in a 13-episode half-season, you can't jam all these stories in here. You need probably 22 to 23 episodes to flesh this out, or you end up getting this, where it's just like you get a nugget instead of, like, you need more depth here.
Well, and we could, like, they could tell this story in 13 episodes if they weren't also trying to tell eight other people's stories. Like, if it was just this story.
You can't tell Savior Goes Dark, Regina saves Robin, Rumpel gets his happy ending, the Charmings commit an atrocity.
Plus there's three other villains, Queens of Darkness, here.
Like, really don't seem to have, they get one episode, but that's it. Ursula got an episode, Cruella got an episode. Is this Maleficent's episode?
The next one is.
Okay, so the next episode. One. So it's like, that's too many stories.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Full season, you can do that, and then you can kind of weave things back and forth. It's been the pacing of this is just.
Yeah. I did not hate this episode.
No,
it was fine. I have some, like, the end was very exciting.
The non-Emma parts I thought were really good. The parts that really involve talking about Emma and Lily and the darkness and fate just seemed a bit heavy-handed and inconsistent with what this show has taught me.
I think that's true. I would agree with that.
You want to start with Golden the Offit? It's kind of the first part of Storybrooke we get to.
Sure, like at Cruella's funeral.
Yes.
I did think it was really interesting that Isaac kept that napkin.
Well, not only was it interesting, I like that, and this is a thing that the show often doesn't do a great job of, is that, like, displaying complicated emotions, right?
Yeah.
So, like, Isaac, she wanted to kill him. He loved her. He also, to some degree, detested her for what she had done. And so that's why he was very smug about how he left. But he still said that, like, look, I wouldn't have been who I am if not for this. She kind of put me on this path. And he legitimately was sentimental about her.
I feel like he's a much more interesting character than we get the amount of time that he is worth. Like, he's really annoying.
Yeah.
In, like, when we talked about in the next episode, like, Rumple is like, oh my god, please just fucking shut up. But he also, like, he wants to be a villain. Not in the same way that Cruella wants to be a villain, but, like, he wants to, like, not... He wants to write fun, villainous stories. Like, he wants to not follow, like, the righteous path of the author.
I don't know that he wants to be a villain. I wouldn't characterize him like that. He wants to do what he wants to do.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that, like, I think the Apprentice and the Sorcerer are a bit self-righteous in the, like, we know the correct path all the time. Any deviation from this is apparently wrong.
Absolutely.
Whereas I think Isaac is like, yeah, just recording events is dumb. Let's have some fun with this. He's not, let's go splash around in the darkness crazy.
Uh-huh.
But he's also willing to break the rules. And I like that. I thought that was quite a nice scene. I thought it was really well done. It was kind of funny to see Rumpel at the funeral. Because he says, like, look, somebody had to die in his hands. It isn't like he actually had any ill will towards Cruella. It was more so that, like, look, she thought she could trick me. She was an opportunity. I took it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great scene up until the point in which Emma is standing there like a dumbass.
So weird.
Are you telling me that this stare down is supposed to, like, intimidate him?
I just...
Bitch, you killed Cruella, not Rumple.
What? I just don't understand that. I don't understand. It's weird. It doesn't make sense.
This is
also, like, the thought behind that. Like, was she gonna go to Cruella's funeral, like, as a guest, and then decided not to go because Rumple and Isaac were there?
No, I think she was there to stare down Gold.
So she, like, intentionally looked up when Cruella's funeral was going to be just so that she could stare down Gold? That's weird.
She's trying to intimidate me. You will hear a lot of this in season 5A, but I feel like I should start now. Chelsea, defend your girl.
I have no defense in this episode for Emma. I also think that, I mean, this whole plot about, like, the darkness, like, it's just bad. It's bad.
I think fundamentally the concept is fine. It just is not right with Emma. Like, if this were Henry, I think the stakes would feel more raised because Heart of the Truest Believer, everyone has, like, a connection with him in a different way. Regina would be scared. Emma would be scared. The Charmings would be scared. I think Hook would be scared. I think even Rumple to some degree would be scared because that is his son's son. It just doesn't work with Emma.
Well, and also with Henry, like, it doesn't even have to be some, like, weird like choice that somebody made that like has weird rules to it. Like he is the product of the greatest light and the greatest darkness. Like he might have inherently some sort of inner turmoil.
Some real resentment, right? Like I could imagine him, because you know, I've said he's always let go what's happened to him. Him actually lashing out at Emma, him lashing out at the Charmings, him lashing out at Rumple, right? Like there could have been some really good scenes of a slowly darkening Henry who's like, you abandoned my father and you dropped him through a thing and he's basically crushing Rumple's heart emotionally. And it's like, well, you're not going to do anything to me because you can't touch me. Mm-hmm. You could have had something more interesting as opposed to just red-eyed Emma where you were just like, what is this crap? I want to say with Golden Offer real quick, mostly it's the car scene.
And okay.
It's very interesting how Gold is playing this, because I think he's playing it the exact right way, which is, at first he makes it sound like Will has a choice, which I appreciate Will being like, yeah, I'm not working for you. And then finally Gold makes it clear. He's like, this was not a request. You seem to misunderstand the power dynamic here. You will do A, because if you don't, I'm going to hurt you.
I actually really liked that scene.
I'm scratching.
Yes. Like, because Will is afraid of Rumple, like, period.
As he should.
But also, like, the way that he delivers, if you've come here to hurt me, you best get on with it. But I warn ya, I'm scrappy. And I'm like, that's true. Like, Rumple would definitely win, but, like, Will might get something in there.
Reminds me of Scrappy Doo. Like, do you remember Scooby Doo? Like, I kind of see Will doing this. I think he actually does that one time.
Yeah, he does.
Like, he has a Scrappy Doo kind of vibe. Yeah, Rumple's gonna slap him like a child. But it's funny because Rumple is doing, essentially, he's bullying Will, but his motivations are fundamentally good. Mm-hmm. He wants to get Belle's heart back, and not for himself, just for Belle.
Yeah.
He doesn't even know it. This also casts Regina in a fucked up light. Like, I know Regina is a hero, but these are not the actions of a hero. Because Belle doesn't know. So I wonder whether she agreed to this or not. You did this without she did not consent to you taking her heart.
No. I unless one takes how can I help as consent.
That seems like an ethical gray area.
It seems like what Regina might have latched onto, but yes, definitely an ethical gray area.
Well, also, I think when she said, go forget about this, the whole point was that she didn't want her to ever
know. Yes.
It's also interesting, and he makes a good point, that, like, you've gotten really close to my wife, but you didn't even notice that her heart is gone. Rumple would have immediately noticed something is wrong. And Will doesn't know her yet. Mm-hmm. So that was an interesting piece.
No, I think that, yeah, I agree.
I love the conversation between Rumple and Maleficent. Like, not like grandmasters, but, like, two old-school villains. Just having a chat. And she tries to trick him, and he's like, come on. Like, I fucking know those.
How did they also, like, not think of that?
Well, actually, so often we criticize them for, like, not considering every scenario. But, like, why would Will be helping Rumple? There's no logical reason anyone would assume that alliance.
But also, I mean, I guess maybe this is just, like, logistics of how protection spells work. But my understanding is that you just, like, put a protection spell around the thing and then, like, no harm can come to it. Did they only put the protection spell on the door? Like, did they not even think that Rumple might try to go through a window?
No, I think it just stops Rumple. I don't think they put
But that's not usually how protection spells work.
Usually, like, blood magic, unless you... It was like, you... I think it's also, like, the stronger and more you want to keep out, the more work it takes.
Yeah, I guess that's fair.
And, like, they don't want... Because, I mean, you know, he touches it and he recoils, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't want to put, like, a protection spell on there that could hurt Henry. And then he accidentally walks through the door to get something, and now he's fried. So probably, like, it probably is targeted at Rumple specifically, don't come in. Because she's the only, who else would realistically be going after this? That's the only person I would assume naturally is going to come take it.
Yeah. Rumple. I also can't believe that she, like, couldn't do anything to stop Will as she saw him leaving the window. I mean, I guess because he, like, has the heart.
If she goes outside, she's a dead woman.
Yeah.
I mean, what is she going to do? Chase him down?
Turn into a dragon?
And go outside?
Yeah.
Where Rumple fucks you up? It's not even a question Rumple fucks it up. Charming beat her! Charming!
I think that he would win, but
he
would
win badly.
I think that she's, like, pretty powerful.
Cruella put her ass to sleep.
Yeah, because she has special animal powers.
You don't think Rumple can control an animal?
I've never seen him control an animal before, nope.
I mean, he kind of easily slaps the three of them down when we first meet them.
Remember, that's just true.
Like, he is much more strong than they are. Much, much stronger. I mean, that's why she doesn't even bother, though. Like, she's just like, meh.
Well, I also think she doesn't actually care because they're already doing the thing that she wants them to do.
Also, I mean, Maleficent, what I like about this, too, is that, like, she was only helping Rumple to get what she needed. She's only helping Regina and them to get what she needed. Now she's kind of gotten it. She's like, well, this ain't my fucking problem. Like,
yeah.
What do I care if she gets her heart back? But, yeah, the conversation about, oh, how are you sure that it's not Lily that is actually the part of the plan that you didn't factor in? And you kind of see that look of Maleficent, because she's got the smug smile, but you see it break there where she's like, oh, fuck. This might be Cruella Part 2.
That would not be good.
Also, I really would have loved to hear Maleficent find out how Cruella died. Because the last we heard was Maleficent saying, I want to fucking kill you for what you did to my daughter.
Uh-huh.
And then she dies at the end of the episode while she's taking a nap. It would have been kind of nice to hear, like, where is that fucking witch? And she's like, oh.
I want
to
go eat her.
Maybe not that phrase, but yeah.
With the dragon. I don't know. Dragons eat people.
I feel like Maleficent's more of a burn you alive type.
Okay.
And then Rumple gives it back. He says Will is going to be the one to protect it. He says goodbye and he leaves. He says, straight up says, I'm asking for forgiveness. And he leaves. He says goodbye. He's dying, obviously.
Well, and he also says, like, if I continue hurting you, then there's no hope for me.
Yeah.
Which I think is true.
I think that's a very fair
point. Because she's, like, if we see her as, like, his conscience, if he continues to hurt that there's no humanity left inside of him.
Which is pretty much what's about to happen. Anyway.
Right.
Yeah. No. I think that they did a good job of threading his story. Him and Belle basically now are goodbye. Though, the way she looks at him at the door... Poor Will. I feel bad for him, man.
I mean, I think he knows that he's a...
Rebound?
A delightful distraction.
Believing something and knowing something are two different things.
Yeah.
The way she looked at him as he left, you now know that you are nothing more than a boy toy while the real prize is walking out the door. What do you want to go next? I got the idiots, and then I got Regina and Emma, and then I got Regina and Robin, which I feel like we should save for the end.
The idiots.
Charmings, Hook, Emma conversation at the beginning.
Oh, I didn't even write down any notes about that. I just have, like, no notes on that.
Oh.
It was a non-scene. Like, nothing occurred during that scene.
Well, I don't know about all that. I mean, that's where... So, okay, well, then I guess we'll go by nine. Well, Austin straight up walks in and says, like, maybe I can help. And, you know... Oddly enough, I like that the Charmings are the first one to say something. She's like, I don't want your help. Justifiably so. It's kind of funny to see two people who are disgusted with the Charmings.
Uh-huh.
And the Charmings really can't say shit back. Like,
yeah.
Though what's funny is that their position is if, like, yeah, we're both mad at you. And I'm like, well, Maleficent's rage is valid.
Mm-hmm.
Emma, shut the fuck up. Like, the real victim has arrived.
Yeah.
Like, you can take a seat now. Emma, at this point, realizes that Lily... who she's known, is the daughter, which is... And this is the part, I think, where the episode goes off the rails. Like, all of a sudden now, Emma's regretting her decision to push her out of her life. And now she has this deep regret. But, like, Lily had basically been a dumbass the entire time you knew her. That was the right call.
Yeah, I don't... Well, and also, like... I mean, I'm not saying that, like, 14-year-olds are, like, completely... Like, they can't make any bad choices that are, like, irredeemable. But, like... She was 14, and she, like, was in a good situation and then got into a bad situation after interacting with Lily. It's not that weird to make a choice not to talk to her anymore.
I mean, I would argue that's fundamentally the correct choice. Like, even if she was 34, I'd be like, well, everywhere you go, trouble follows.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I say this for football players who grew up in, like, gangs. Once I get to the NFL, here's a $100,000 severance package. Forget me. Like, I'm done. I'm leaving this life. My life is better now. Why would I let you drag me down into this hellhole? That's all Lily kept doing, was dragging her down. Even if Lily's point was semi-valid, they're like, you're always going to be the outsider in this family. Okay, I still get to live in a house. And
right, exactly. Like, even a family that, like, doesn't see you as their family, but is, like, nice to you generally.
Yeah.
And it's not like, I mean, it's not like what Emma did, like, not telling them that... Like, that an armed robber was in their house. It's not a good thing.
That's really bad.
But, like, also, she's 14 and was, like, trying to fix the situation, and their response was not great. But Yeah, you're totally right. Like, it's way better to live in a house with a family who's generally nice to you than live in a foster home or in a, like, a group home.
Yeah, like, even if you don't have the perfect job, you don't quit looking for the new job. You just go look for a better job, and then you keep the okay job until you find the dream job.
Well, and she's also, like, what, 14? Yeah. Like, she's not going to live with them for that long, and they might, like, set her up for a good life.
Yep. Yeah, at the end, like, I get maybe if she were, like, 5, or, like, you're talking about another decade, we're reasonably talking about a presidential administration, and that's all you got left. And at this point, you've been bouncing around from place to place to place. Take what you can get, like...
Well, and especially, like, I mean, slightly off, I just, like, don't understand, like... Going from living in a group home, like, you have nothing. Yeah. You have nothing at all.
I wish I could place the difference in time between this and Ingrid.
Uh-huh.
Because I know that she had a very bad reaction to what happened with Ingrid. Was this before or after that?
It's hard to say because the young actress, like, it looks a similar age, but I don't know if that was intentional. Like, well, she could have been 12 when that happened.
I don't recall, like, a year or a time frame. I know this is 99, but I don't know when Ingrid happened. So, like, if she had, like, built-in trust issues where maybe she would overreact to, like, every small thing. Mm-hmm. So, like, what the dad said triggered what, I don't know, like, something. But we don't get enough of a coherent timeline to really know why she should act this way.
It's actually also unclear to me how long ago it was that she first met Lily. Like, I don't know when that was. Yeah.
Good question.
Like, was it recently or, like, was it 2 years ago?
I don't know. They don't really get pages. Yeah. And also, Lily had been adopted by her family since birth.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm supposed to believe that, like, that family just kicked her out? Like, that isn't, to my knowledge, usually how, like...
Well, that's what I was saying. Like, I think she must have done something really bad.
It's possible. She did, like, something so horrible. But, like...
Like, maybe she was committing armed robbery or...
That's fair.
Like, I mean, I don't know. Maybe her parents were terrible people. Who knows?
Yeah, though I didn't get that impression when we, like, met them.
I didn't either.
Yeah. In fact, we actually got that, like, her parents were pretty good people, and she was just being a little teenage shithead.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, other than that, I thought the Charmings conversation with Maleficent, honestly, was filled with a whole lot of bullshit from the Charmings end. But I thought Maleficent's point was, like, well, you kind of made her a monster, so, like, she may have no reason to forgive you, and may want to kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that she'd be wrong in feeling that way. Like,
and it turns out that's exactly the case.
You think she's justified in wanting to kill the Charmings?
Oh, I didn't say
justified. Oh, no, that's my question. Actually.
I mean, kill, no, but they deserve to be punished for this.
How do you punish them appropriately for what they did to her?
Prison for 10 years? I don't know.
Well, they were already in prison for 30 years, arguably. Yeah. Prison for 10 years.
I don't know. What's the legal precedent for putting someone's dragon baby egg through a portal? What's the legal precedent for that?
Execution. That would be the legal precedent.
All right. Do you want to talk about Land of Without Magic of the present?
Do I want to or will I? Because those are two separate statements. Yeah. Let's go there. Regina and Emma is kind of how I sectioned this off, because it's kind of their trip, because they're basically doing two birds, one stone. They're going to go find Lily, and they're going to go to Robin Hood. Regina reveals that she believes in fate, similar to the way that Neil said that Rumpel always believed in fate. Though the analogy that she uses did not feel like fate to me. We already talked about this, the whole, like, well, you think it was just a coincidence? It's like, no, I think Rumpel was pulling strings. Yeah, we know that we saw that kind of there's maybe some fate in them beating the Darlings there. They got a little lucky. That just doesn't feel like a random happenstance. The way that Neil and Emma feel like just fate. Like, that was just purely, there's no logical reason for that. Is the wolf that they see on the way back, is that potentially the physical manifestation of fate?
I mean, maybe, because, like, we're meant to believe. And, I mean, it's sort of true, but it's also, like, part of the curse that, like, because Emma could leave Storybrooke, technically.
Yep.
In season one.
Mm-hmm.
And the wolf stopped her from doing it so she could, like, fulfill her fate as the savior.
Yeah.
So I guess, yes, like, fate was intervening. And I think that's why Emma looks so shocked.
Yeah, because she's seen the wolf before.
She's, like, Okay.
And this isn't even in Storybrooke. Like, she's not leaving the town of Storybrooke this time.
No, she's, it's like, it seems like Lily had moved not very far away from where she had lived previously.
Yep.
In Lowell, Massachusetts, which is a fucking shithole.
I have no knowledge of Massachusetts. Is it notoriously pretty shitty?
Uh-huh. And I think the wolf, like, they were starting to head towards New York, and the wolf was like, nope, you gotta go this way. And they, Regina just sort of took it as like, oh, we have a flat tire, like, it's not a big deal. And then they show up at the diner.
Yeah.
And I mean, fate is pushing them together, I guess.
Regina does have a great crack when they go into the apartment.
Yeah.
I have a Bob and Freddy storybook, man. I can just curse everyone to live here. Like, yeah.
I always love that. In the movie Dogma, when they, like, curse the angels to live, what is it, in, like, Minnesota or
Milwaukee?
Milwaukee, yeah. Like, the worst place on earth.
Was Milwaukee so bad? Yeah. Great movie.
Also, Emma is so Emma in these scenes with Lily. Like, she's, like, and, I mean, she is the savior, so I get it. But
do you get it? You say you relate to her. I don't get her actions most of the time at all.
I mean, I don't relate to her as, like, a savior.
No, I'm not a savior. You find her actions relatable.
Sometimes, yeah. Like, I mean, I relate to her as a person that struggles to share her emotions with others and puts up walls.
Yeah.
She has a real, like, I'm here to save you. And Lily's like, fuck you. My life is fine. Leave me alone.
I mean, that was obviously a play.
Right. She wanted the car.
Yeah. She has a savior complex.
Yes.
Which I think she inherited from her father.
But also, isn't it a little fair to have a savior complex when you are the savior?
No! You were the savior for one curse, and you did it.
It's like that line in, I think it's the 6th Harry Potter book, or movie. I love the jokes in that movie. A bunch of girls, like, want to go do a dance or something with him, and Hermione's like, they only like you because you're the chosen one. He's like, but I am the chosen one.
Yeah, that line was always funny to me. It's like, yeah, what's your point? Like, they only like you because you're cute. I know.
But I am cute.
I mean, I think she's trying to make it that they only like you for your money. It's like, well, yeah, he's the chosen one. That's an inherent part of who he is. Yeah, I mean, like, I get... The one thing that I don't understand, for her being a savior, her purpose was to save them from the curse. She hasn't really had to save them from anything else. Like, she doesn't save them from Pan's curse. She doesn't save the day at Zelina's curse or Snow's curse, whichever one you want to call it. She's not the savior inherently. She didn't even save them from Rumple at the end of 4A. That's Belle. Like, what the fuck is she saving other than the initial thing she was saving?
I don't know.
From Cruella's cruelty?
I do also wish we spent more time with, like, Regina and Emma than Emma and Lily. Like, Regina's, like, the way that Regina got her to stop, like, if you do this, the journey back isn't easy. Trust me, I know. Like, she does. And they, like, could have a real connection about that. And it's just kind of like a passing line.
Yeah. One of the things that I said this even back in Snow Falls, I wish we had gotten, or Snow Drifts, I mean, new Regina confronting old Regina, and kind of like new Regina seeing, and us getting to see her see how much of a monster she was, because we know it. Mm-hmm. But it's very different when you see all the terrible things you've done, and even Regina admits she's forgotten because she just was so dark. And that, like, journey being like that statement, I don't think would have been as throwaway if it was like, I just had to have a stark reminder of how terrible of a person. You don't want to go down that path.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of like a, I don't know. It feels like a throwaway line. You're right. Like, it doesn't feel as meaningful as it should coming from the evil queen, who has kind of turned a page, but is still resorting to evil tactics.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then they go to New York.
Well, they get tricked by Lily and let her, so, like, they find the murder board, and then she steals the fucking bug. Emma, you were a bounty hunter, bail bonds person? You left your keys in the car?
Yeah, both.
And the scroll?
I know, the scroll. I'm like, you left your keys and a purse in a car while you are breaking into someone's home. Like, the police could come. Like,
I get Regina making this mistake because she's not familiar with the real world.
And she's used to just being able to be like, oh, my bank.
Well, and also, like, who's going to steal from the evil queen, right? It's like a drug dealer will send it down a road and be like, I wish you would. You know better, Emma! What are you doing?
And then they tried to do, like, an action movie car chase, and it was ineffective.
It was bad. Yeah. It also, where did Emma learn to drive like that? She just did, like, a full 180, you know, fast.
Maybe she's chased skips before?
And does Fast and the Furious, like, car tricks?
Maybe, you know.
Okay, well, I'll give you that her dad is good at everything, so maybe she's just good at everything, too. But considering how she tailed Regina, she's not that good.
It's true.
Yeah.
She's not.
And that would, they don't do action scenes very well in this show. It's never been their thing. This was not very good.
No. It was a lot of, like, really close-ups on their faces and cars going,
also, like, the bug doesn't have any accelerations. It's a VW bug.
And it's, like, really old. It's an old bug.
Like, it'd be like you trying to outrun me in your Prius and I'm taking my Tesla. Like, you're not going anywhere. Like, I could probably go in reverse and be like, hi! Yeah, that scene was not very good. I didn't love... And then Lily just decides to go with them? Now she's part of the team?
I don't quite understand, like, is she going because she still just wants to kill Snow and Charming, and if they're going to let her come with them, she's going to take the easy way in?
Also, Lily, they wanted to bring you back to Storybrooke. If your plan was just to get into Storybrooke to kill them, they were going to walk you in the front door.
Yeah.
That didn't even make, why did you run? Let them take you in the car, and they will deliver you to your salvation. What were you, why did we need this action chase thing?
I mean, I don't know how much she knows about present day, like, Regina being a hero.
Yeah.
But I guess, like, if she's going to try to kill the Savior's parents, it would be easier to do so if the Evil Queen and the Savior were not there.
Well, if you don't know anything about present day, you assume the Evil Queen would help you.
That's fair.
So... either way, the plan still didn't make sense. All of that was just bad. It was kind of interesting for a second that Lily, like, I think it would have been a fun story with Lily hunting the Charmings, wanting to kill them. And now Emma has to protect the people that she's pissed off at.
Mm-hmm.
We throw that away within the course of this episode. I think the only thing that was interesting about the whole Lily thing was when we find out that the apprentice talked to Lily.
Yeah.
And he hits a line. He says, you are not as responsible for your own misery as you believe. Okay, so now we are absolving her of responsibility with that statement, it sounds like.
Yeah.
But why?
I mean, I don't understand. I just don't understand how this situation works.
Nope.
But like, in this episode,
yeah.
We're meant to believe that she was cursed to be evil.
Sure. So, like, all the things that you've done, all the bad choices, not your fault.
Yeah. You only made those bad choices because you were made to be bad.
So we're believing everyone who was cursed and made bad choices is just absolved. We just hand-wave it away.
Oh, and he clearly didn't do a very good job here because she still didn't.
Nope.
Like,
life didn't get any better.
Nope.
He obviously didn't tell her everything because he didn't tell her that Emma was the savior?
I don't know.
Yeah, this was not good.
I don't know.
There are a lot of inconsistencies, don't make a lot of sense. Lily in the present gets over dramatic. I will destroy everything. And then she stands there, or she puts her knees and her arms out like, what the fuck was that? Was she sacrificing herself?
I'm not sure that I, you know, you always say Jennifer Morrison's dead face, and she definitely has dead face.
Oh, yeah.
I think this actress has more dead face than Jennifer Morrison. I didn't know that was possible.
Well, she does, but I think that's intentional. Her name is Lilith. I think she's supposed to be dead inside. Like, I think that is the emotion she's supposed to convey. She's just dark and dead. There's no spark, no hope, just Lilith. I think she's dead.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, you're right. She has as much dead face. I just assumed that was the point.
All right. New York, the best part of this episode?
One of the two best parts.
Yeah.
Of
this episode. I wonder what they also told Lily about the situation. Like, they're like...
not much.
Oh, we're not going back to Maine. Actually, we're driving down to New York because my sister is pretending to be my boyfriend's, my true love's dead wife.
Do you think Rumpel tipped off Selena?
That's a really good question.
I think he did.
I don't know. Yeah, I guess I think it doesn't really matter because I don't think now the thing that Zelina wants is not to hurt Robin, to hurt Regina. What Zelina has now is the worst pain that she could cause Regina.
Yeah. But I think they had a conversation and then Zelina told Rumple, oh, don't worry. I've got contingency right now. And now I can screw over Regina. Just do what you need to do, which is he can't leave you. Which, I don't know. The logic in that didn't make a lot of sense to me. But
I want to step back for a second, which I find this to be ridiculous. Oftentimes they do this when you're watching this show to like remind you of things in case you forgot. And Regina says like, oh, it's not Marion, it's Zelina. And then Robin goes, the Wicked Witch, as if he like kind of doesn't really know who Zelina is. And I'm like, bruh, you were like heavily involved in the storyline. We also remember who Zelina is. It's okay.
It also wasn't so long ago. Like, if this was like, if you said Cora and he was like, Regina's mother? Like, that was a bit of a ways ago. So, like, we probably do need a refresher. But yeah, the Wicked Witch was 3B. We're in 4B.
Yeah, it wasn't that long ago.
And also, so I think if Zelina had chosen not to reveal herself, she had convinced Robin that she was Marion, even though he himself used a glamour spell on Rumple to make it so that he couldn't recognize him. Obviously, they did that to change actors, but like, Robin, you're intimately familiar with the concept of not looking like who you think you are. But this thing, you like, just, you refuse to, this is madness. This whole show is madness.
He also was ridiculous. Like, I mean, he does a very convincing shocked face. Like, he is so shocked.
Oh, yeah.
But Regina just told him that. Like, and he knows how glamour spells work.
No, I think that shocked face is based on horror. He knows what that means.
Yeah.
And I think that reaction was, oh, God, no.
I did appreciate that they folded in that Lily has never seen magic before.
Yeah, what was that? Because it's fucking weird.
It's weird, yeah.
And then, yeah, Zelina was one step ahead.
Yeah, she was. Anything else?
Zelina's got a baby.
Zelina has a baby.
So, I have to ask you, where does this fall on the scale of, is this basically just a magical version of what Jonathan does to Cora? Because I don't really know how to place this. Like, we talked about this, and I don't want to go into details, but like, we talked about this with the whole Huntsman and Regina, which is a different situation. And we didn't touch on it much with Jonathan and Cora.
This is worse than what Jonathan does to Cora. Because Jonathan... Zelina pretends to be a real person that Robin has a connection with.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so much worse than pretending to be, like, a fictional prince for a one-night stand.
Who wants to marry you.
Yeah.
I mean, it feels like Jonathan did basically the same thing without magic. He created a character that was not real, that pretended to have a deep connection with Cora simply to bed her and then disappear. That does feel very, I mean, the element of magic.
I mean, the intent here, I know we talk about how intent is meaningless, but the intent here is also a lot worse.
Yeah, that's true. Her intent is to...
Like, her sole purpose for wanting to be with him is... to fuck Regina.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
Yeah,
Jonathan was mostly trying to use and discard Cora.
Yeah.
Which isn't good.
No.
But, yeah, it definitely wasn't a revenge plot.
Yeah, this is, I mean, this is really bad.
Yeah.
It's bad. All right, favorite moment? I had a really hard time choosing one.
I had two favorite moments.
Okay.
Rumple's talk with Maleficent. I thought that was a very fun conversation.
Okay.
I like seeing two older, calmer villains kind of have a discussion. And there's a lot of animosity. Like, you know, Maleficent's like, I'm done with you. And Rumble's like, maybe, but I've already gotten what I need from you. I liked that a lot. I thought it was really good. And also, him tricking her with the conversation while Will is steering was kind of funny.
Yeah.
You?
I, like, almost didn't pick anything. But I ended up just choosing that funny line. Why did I go to the trouble of creating Storybrooke when I could have cursed everyone to live here? Fair good enough. Delivery from Regina. It was funny.
Yeah. Yeah, that's good. I had one more. I really liked Isaac's fond words about Cruella. I thought that was a nice touch of like, even though she was literally a bastard, it was still nice to see that he cared for her. I got two ridiculous.
I have three.
Go.
We already talked about this one in detail, but the, like, is evil born or is it made? Is fate a thing or not? Does it push us or we make our own decisions? I think they're trying to walk a fine line here that is not, they're not walking it very well.
Correct. Yeah, Emma's stare down.
Yeah, wall. That's my second one. That's fucking ridiculous. It just, she's just standing there like an idiot. By herself, too.
Well, I also like, okay, if she was staring down the author, okay, I could see that.
Yeah, she could fuck up the author. For
maybe.
Sure.
I don't know what the author's powers exactly level are.
If he doesn't have a pen, I think he's just.
He's in trouble. Yeah. But Rumple? Savior versus Dark One. Savior loses 101 times out of 99. Like,
totally.
Get out of here. What's your second?
Well, that was my second one. My third one is, I guess this is like an interesting plot element that I'm interested in, but Selena being Marion and pregnant with Robin's child is like the most soap opera plot line. It's like, oh, that wasn't me. That was my evil twin.
Dr. Drake Ramore finds out that his long dead wife, who is not actually dead, is actually his true love, not dead sister.
But he's not actually Dr. Drake Ramore. He has Susan Sarandon's brain in his head, so now he's Susan Sarandon. It's that kind of shit.
It's definitely ridiculous. I also appreciate when the show doesn't take itself seriously, so I find that very funny. But you're right, the concept is basically absurd.
Mm-hmm.
So Rumple absorbed his son.
Yeah.
It's that level of like, the fuck? Yeah, one of the other ones, and I guess I just felt bad for Will, but Rumple's goodbye was fine. Belle longingly staring at him while your current boyfriend is literally like right there. That just doesn't actually feel like something. And like, Belle, you've already made it very clear that like you were just sick and tired of Rumple, which is fair. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But now this makes it feel like that you're not that sick and tired of him. Because he just said goodbye, and now you're like, oh, that's the Rumple I miss. I'm like, fuck, don't go back together. I don't want to see more Rumble. Never again.
All right.
Oh, I have one more.
Oh, sorry.
Lily, you want to kill the Charmers. Two people just offered you a chance to go in the storybook with them. You decide, instead of just taking the offer, try to outrun them in a book.
Maybe she is cursed to make stupid choices.
I'm starting to believe it. Not just bad choices, just stupid choices. Mm-hmm. I got two losers, two winners.
I have three losers and two winners.
Three losers? I know who one of them is, clearly. I don't know who the other two are.
Yeah. My first one is Emma.
Ooh, I did not put Emma. Why? Who go?
I mean, that stare down, just terrible. Like, I don't even understand what she's trying to accomplish there. It's stupid. She continues to be a petulant child. She's going down some weird dark path for reasons that don't make any sense to me. Like, I just don't understand. And she continues to play directly into Rumple's hands.
I complained for a long time about how I wish we'd gotten Heart of Darkness. This is not what I meant.
No.
I wanted Jennifer Goodwin to be doing this, not Jennifer Morrison. Wrong Jennifer, yeah. Guys. Will?
That's very interesting. I do not have Will as a loser.
Yeah, that's... Well, two reasons. One, you definitely didn't want to work with Rumple, but you were bullied into doing it. Like, you didn't have a choice. And then that look from Bells.
I think I interpreted the look differently than you did.
Yeah, it's because you want it to be different than it is. It was very clearly longing for Rumple.
Oh. I mean, I think that can be true without her actually wanting to be with him, though.
You're right. But I think if you are the other guy and you see your girlfriend looking at another man like that, she ain't looking at you like that.
All
right. That just is not a fun position to be in.
I have Regina.
Obviously.
This situation is so much worse than she even thought it was. It's really bad now. It's actually terrible. It's like her worst nightmare.
I'm trying to figure out at this point who has been more of a thorn in her side between Cora, Emma, and Zelina. And I don't really know.
I think that Cora is a terrible thorn in her side that has like ruined Regina's life.
Yeah.
But Zelina is like trying to ruin Regina's life on purpose. Yeah. Like Cora is selfish and has selfish goals, but also, like, ultimately, like, does think that she's doing the right thing for her daughter, which is absurd in many instances. But, like, I don't know. I think Selena takes the cake here on that.
But then if that's the argument, then I could argue that Emma is the worst thing to happen to Regina, because Emma's the reason Selena's here in the first place.
That's true.
Every bad thing that has happened to Regina can kind of be pointed back to Emma.
Except the thing that Regina loves most is only here because of Emma.
Sure. And then was taken away because of Emma. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, yeah, there's some positives and some good. I mean, like, let's be real. If we want to go that route, the only reason Regina exists is because of Cora.
I can't believe you don't have this third one. Robin.
I thought about it.
This man was so delighted to see Regina.
Yeah.
And then she tells him that his wife, who he thought was dead anyway, and then actually came back to life. And then he, like, had to try to build a life with her. And he seems to have, like, sort of succeeded at that, only to find out that that person is actually Selena. And also, she's pregnant with his fucking child.
I think the problem I had with picking Robin is that, like, everything is already very bad for him, in my opinion. So, like, it's just more...
But he didn't know that until this episode.
When I say everything is bad, he's not with the woman he actually loves.
Yes.
He's trying to make it with a woman that he already admitted he doesn't really have feelings for. He's living in a place that, like, I'm sorry, living in New York is not a fun thing, in my opinion, if you don't want to be in New York.
They also live in a studio apartment with a child and soon to be a baby.
With no doors.
With no doors.
Yeah, so it's like...
Babies need doors.
Yeah. I mean, you don't need doors apparently to make babies. Yeah, I just... Everything is already so... low for him that, like, this is just basically another log on this eternal shit fire that he's been dealing with. So I get what you're saying. I just was like, all you now know is that you just now know how shitty it is, but it's actually always been this shitty.
Mm-hmm.
I got two winners. You got two winners?
I had two, but then I added a third one.
Ooh. I order mine, so
I think I ordered mine.
Who's your third place?
I just will.
Well, that's insane. Well, go ahead. I was wondering when you said, I didn't choose. I was like, did you add Will as a winner?
Yeah. He successfully stole from Maleficent.
Is that a good thing?
I mean, he got Belle's heart back.
Is making an enemy of Maleficent a good thing?
She doesn't give a shit about him.
You hope. You hope? Because if she's mad that she got stolen from, she kills him.
That's true. And I think that he is now in a situation where Belle... I think you're right that there's, like, some complicated feelings there, but he's now not in, like... I mean, he didn't die. Like, Rumble could have just fucking killed him in this episode.
Sure, but typically when we say didn't die...
There was, like, actually a moment
where... Yeah, like, impending death often. Yeah, that's fair. I mean,
maybe you convinced me he's not a winner. I don't know. I just think he was... I think he was, successful in his endeavors in this episode.
Yeah, I would also argue that the one thing we've always talked about Belle is that because you are linked with the Dark One, there are many enemies coming for you. Mm-hmm. And now it is Will's task to protect Belle. And if he fails at this task, do you know who he has to answer to? Rumple.
That's fair.
That ain't a win, in my opinion. One of your winners has to be Zelina.
Yeah, she was the one that I added, actually.
Oh, you didn't have her
before. I don't know how I didn't think of that. I
immediately thought it was Zelina.
Yeah, I mean, she's probably the ultimate winner, actually. Like,
I have her a second.
This is exactly what Selena wanted. She got exactly what she wanted.
She's not in the episode long enough for me to say she
exactly.
She's been manipulating this. Welcome back. Done a great job. The winner of this episode is Rumple.
Like, I don't have Rumple.
He's playing them like fools. He's getting everything he needs. He's the only one that seems to be a step ahead of everybody.
I think that I you're not wrong. Like, yeah. He's orchestrated this whole thing. He, like, figured it out. He got Belle's heart back. Like, he did the whole thing.
Big important thing to get Belle's heart back.
Yeah, big important thing. I think that I'm struggling a little bit with, like, the... because I still don't really understand how they're going to use the Dark Savior to their efforts. So I feel like I'm going to feel like he's the winner of the next episode.
Well, I mean, we know how. And truthfully, Emma is turning dark. Like, clearly her actions are showing that she is going towards the darkness. She's embracing it. She's beating the shit out of people randomly. It's very parallel to a Hook. When he got his hook back, he just started losing, kind of going off the handle and losing it. We're seeing Emma do that. Yeah, she stops short of murdering Lily, but, like, goddamn, we never even would have questioned before that she would just murder someone in cold blood. And, yeah, and not only did he get it back, he's a step ahead of Maleficent, he's a step ahead of Emma. I mean, he every single time, everyone thinks they know what's going on, and he's just like, nope, I got this, I got that. And this is the episode in which he needed to do what he needed to do to make sure that, like, yeah, you want her to go find Lily? I want her to go find Lily. I need her to go dark. And it doesn't matter where she goes dark, whether it's here or whether she goes dark. Though, I wonder, was the crackle in the background of their fight, was that implying that, like, magic was happening?
I mean, I think it was meant to imply that, like, fate was colliding.
Yeah.
But I don't know. my third winner is Maleficent. She did lose the heart, but I think to her, she doesn't give a shit. She gets exactly what she wants.
What does she get in this episode?
Well, Lily is coming to her.
She didn't get that.
It's happening.
But it didn't happen.
But, like, she's coming to me.
She doesn't know that.
I guess.
And it didn't happen. What are you saying, like, she's eventually going to get there?
She does know, actually, because Maleficent called Regina to tell her about the heart.
And they said that they had Lily's just gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I guess that's a plus. I mean, she knows she's not dead, and she knows she can find her. I don't agree with that one either. That one seems like giving credit for events that will happen in the future, as opposed to, like, events that have actually happened. But I get what your thinking is. Yeah, I wish we got more Maleficent, actually.
We want more.
We haven't done a really good job of it.
The next episode is a Maleficent focus episode.
Fine, but, like, we did not do really enough.
No, we definitely
the depths of what the Charming have done to her.
Mm-mm.
Also, what's interesting is that there's an episode where Charming has to steal something from Maleficent back in the past.
Yeah.
That takes a very new light when you realize what they had done to her before.
Isn't that the first episode? Or no, it's the season finale.
The season finale where he has to do something and steal it. But it's like, oh, you're monsters. You'd already fucked her over once. I see why she immediately goes to kill you. But this makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah, I think that, like, we've certainly seen Maleficent do bad things, like randomly burn people alive. When
it's funny, we really haven't.
We could just tie them up, but we've never seen her do the bad thing.
We've never seen her do almost any. The worst thing she does is burn a bunch of guards.
Yeah, I mean, she puts Aurora under a sleeping.
Oh, yeah. We
don't actually see her do it.
We just know
that it occurred.
Yeah, yeah.
And we also know that she cursed Philip.
No, I think we do see her put Aurora on the sleeping curse. The Aurora Regina episode, I think she does put Aurora in that curse right there.
Oh,
the very
you're right. But that happens after the initial time when we, like, but we don't ever see her do something that is really monstrous.
We don't see heinous actions.
Or is something that is different than what we know that the Maleficent of like, lore does.
Yes. Like, we don't see her, like, when we see Regina torch that whole village.
We're
like, what the fuck? We don't, I mean, we know of her exploits through, like, tales and things like that, but we don't actually get to see it. So it does feel like they've made her much more sympathetic.
Mm-hmm.
And then, obviously, like, the problem is that, like, even if you've done this to Maleficent, you did it to the baby.
Well, and even, okay, backtracking for a second, we should have talked about this in the last episode. When they go to the Chernobog, like, Maleficent, Ursula, when Rumple takes them to the Chernobog to steal the Dark Curse.
Oh, like, very, we're going all the way back to the beginning of the season. Got it.
And Maleficent, Ursula, and Cruella, Rumple leaves them there. Mm-hmm. And he says, the Chernobog will choose the person with the greatest capacity for darkness inside them. And that person wasn't Cruella? It wasn't Cruella? Excuse me? I mean, I guess if we think about, like, if we're talking about capacity, like, Maleficent is way more powerful than Cruella, so, like, potentially has more capacity to, like,
I don't think the Chernobog was going after Maleficent. I think the Chernobog was going after Lily. She was pregnant.
But Lily wasn't evil at that time.
Blank slate. Greatest capacity for evil.
Yeah.
Emma was, then so was Lily.
Okay, I guess that's fair.
Yeah.
God, but Cruella is just so cruel.
Yeah, but the thing with Cruella is that, like, yeah, she, if you gave her Rumple powers, she would have the greatest capacity. But, like, truth be told,
yeah, she can't do that much. That's fair.
It's kind of like a normal twisted serial killer.
Yeah. So I'm really looking forward to more Maleficent in the next episode. And I also want to know how the hell they're going to resolve the Selena situation. Like, what are they going to do? I just, like, don't understand what they're going to do.
I also, the one thing that I'm confused about, I don't even understand what a happy ending looks like for all of these characters.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we've talked so much about heroes and villains. Well, who the fuck is the hero now? Are we saying that the Charmings are heroes? Are we saying that Regina's a hero? Are we saying that Hook is a hero? If Rumpel does it, is it him in the, is he picking? Like, I'm not even sure. And, like, what does that look like? Does that turn the heroes into villains?
Yeah, I have a lot of, I really like those, the season finale year, but I also have questions about that, and I'm excited to talk about it when we get there.
Yeah, because, like, I feel like I know what he wants. It's very clear to me what his happy ending looks like. I don't know what Selena's happy ending looks like.
I mean, I think this is it.
And also, like, can this bring back the dead?
I don't know.
Because, like, does he honor Cruella's wish and bring her back?
Also, just, like, thinking about this for a minute, I feel like bringing Selena back to Storybrooke is actually, like, the stupidest thing that they could possibly do. She has no magic here. And she...
Well, she clearly has some magic.
Well, just she has a magical object. That's it. Like, she's powerful. Like, she's very powerful. It, like, was hard for them to defeat her before. I'm curious how they're going to handle this.
Well, the situation was different because she had the Dark One. I actually don't know that I buy that she's all that hard to stop with the Dark One there. He can stop her. Now, he won't kill her because of their deal.
But, yeah, but would he is the question.
I don't know. What I don't know about his deals is that, like, are there conditions? Like, she said, don't come after me. If you go after Henry, I'm not entirely sure he won't go, you cross the line, or if she goes after Beth, you cross the line that I don't fucking care about breaking this deal. Now, obviously, she's maybe smart enough to know better.
Mm-hmm.
But you're right. If you bring her back into town, she becomes the second most powerful person in town. It's Rumpel than her.
Maybe Maleficent is more powerful than her.
You're talking top three still.
Yeah. And, I mean, Regina did defeat her using light magic. But I don't know if that is something that Regina can do
consistently
all the time.
That's another thing I wish we had explored.
Yeah.
Where is Regina's light magic? We just don't talk about it anymore. Was it just like a burst and maybe like a desperation play?
I think it was partially about intent. Like, her intent there was, like, to save everyone.
Yeah.
And if she doesn't have that, it might be harder for her to do it.
Oh, I see what you're saying. So, like, she could channel it.
Yeah, or, like, doing something, like,
save
Robin, like, for, like, selfish reasons.
Her weakness is Emma. Remember, light magic burns her.
Right.
So, I mean, Emma can stop her.
Maybe, but Emma's going dark. I don't know.
I don't know, but Emma having dark magic might be even more powerful.
That's true.
Yeah.
Anyway, please be sure to join us next time when we watch season 4, episode 21, Mother.
We'll see you next time.